We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kellyanne Conway is our own here, the pride of Hamilton, New Jersey, and someone who has just done wonderful things. And they're all in this book, but it doesn't pull punches either. Here's the deal, a memoir. Let's go to Kellyanne on the Dom Giordano Show on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Kellyanne, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It's old home week for me. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Yeah. Hey, Kellyanne, one thing I usually try to take time with an author who's been through multiple interviews like The View, et cetera. It was riveting how they drilled down on the details and asked you this. The favorite part of your book, maybe a part that hasn't been talked about that much to me, it's when you talk about growing up in Hamilton.
Oh, yes. What a gift that keeps on giving that was. I grew up in Little South Jersey. I was born in Camden and then grew up in Atco, New Jersey, which is a tiny town in Camden County, but went to school, Catholic school, St. Joe's, from kindergarten through 12th grade, 13 straight years in Hamilton, New Jersey. It's also where other members of my family lived, Dom, and it's also where my the blueberry farm was, where I worked for eight summers. So it really was a central nervous system. Then, boom, Ronald Reagan visits Hamilton, New Jersey in September of 1984. I'm in the senior year of high school. I'd been a blueberry packer. I was captain of the field hockey team. I got to meet him for like 2 nanoseconds, but I was hooked. I felt bitten and smitten in having met President Reagan. Can you imagine that a Republican presidential candidate is coming to New Jersey? When's that going to happen again? I hope soon. But and growing up, look, our childhoods are all different, right? They're all the unique American experience. But I grew up in Hamilton, as you know, at least 10 or 15 years ago, was known as the most Italian town in this country. About 23% of the people who lived there were 100% Italian.
Well, look, I know this. The downtown is about 30 seconds running slowly, and there's 8 Italian restaurants there. That's right.
Easily. All busy at all times. That's right.
Yeah.
But no, it's a wonderful way to grow up, and I grew up in a house of Italian Catholic women, South Jersey version of the Golden Girls. It's a gift that keeps on giving. But when Donald Trump said forgotten man, forgotten woman, and I like to add forgotten child, I knew exactly what he meant. People with blighted out storefronts, closed factories, no economic opportunity. We're all just supposed to go get college and postgraduate degrees and live happily ever after. So I appreciated that he said that people were addled with drugs and isolation, mental health challenges, trying to get our agricultural and farming communities back online, recalibrating these trade deals. So it was very near and dear to me, and I love it. I'm a South Jersey girl forever. Capital S, capital J.
All right. I went back through my notes, too. You didn't just come in and I don't know about save the day. I think you did. You brought order to what was a charismatic figure. But you first met Trump in 2011 when he was considering running for governor. What was the Trump like then versus a few years later? Was it similar?
Yes, it was. Always in command of the information. Always sort of saying out loud what he was thinking. And in this case, it was, I got to do something. Here I am, a guy filled with great ideas, unbelievable experiences and successes in New York meritocracies, real estate, television, you name it, golf clubs then that they were developing. And so he felt, you know, Donald Trump has always felt, and we all know this now, we say it, that he's got an awful lot to add to the public discourse and to public service. He hired me to do a poll in 2011 to see if he should go up against Barack Obama. for re-election. My poll said it would be a steep climb, especially if he actually wasn't a candidate. And I always thought Obama had advantages that people weren't paying enough attention to. I know the Romney people were mad at me. Who cares? That I, you know, had predicted Obama would be reelected. It wasn't what I wanted. It's what I saw. But then Donald Trump hired a different pollster, and I think that one said he had a better chance. So anyway, but I, you know, this is a man who, since 1980, had toyed around, teased around a little bit with running for office, running for president. And I think for people, they see that, they hear that, and they say, yeah, okay. I don't know. Would he? And I told him, you know what, Mr. President, until you actually announce, we really don't know fully what people think of you, because they say to themselves, why in God's name would Donald Trump give up being Donald Trump to run for office? Why would you do that? That's for people who aren't successful businessmen, who don't have the number one TV show on NBC. Why would you do that? And of course, that was all true in terms of when he did become a candidate, an announced candidate, people gravitated towards him almost instantly, and some never left. And that first debate, August 6, 2015, in Cleveland, Ohio, with Megyn Kelly and others, he got center stage. He had earned center stage, and he never lost that place. His wife, Melania Trump, gave him even better advice, though. She was right on. She said, if you run, whatever you run for, if you run, and she always favored president, of course, she knew he could do it. If you run, be prepared to win and be prepared to govern.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was right.
Kellyanne, Trump advances women, whatever, you know, I think we all know some of the flaws there, but he does advance women. You make that point again and again and again.
Oh, I do. And he, you know, Donald Trump went a place where no Republican presidential candidate has ever gone, which is to elevate a woman to the top of his campaign. And then he took me to a place where no woman had ever gone, which is to be the campaign manager of a successful U.S. campaign. It's all written in my new book, Here's the Deal. You can see all the conversations, all the way he won that election by barnstorming the country and taking his message directly to people, doing local interviews with folks like you, and not just mainstream media, not just national media stuff. And then, you know, during the transition, especially in the White House, it's a very pro-woman boss. And, Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump. But he had been doing this his entire career, Don. He had been elevating women to in the Trump organization, in the Trump campaign, in the Trump White House. It was very natural for him to do that. And I had a great relationship with him and a great portfolio as senior counselor. But I want to tell everybody how important it was for me that he's somebody who cares about his own family, so he cares about his employees' families. And look, I look up in a meeting one day, Ivanka Trump, Brooke Rollins, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Michelle Swap, and me, five women, 19 kids. At the time, ages 2 to 16, we have 12 daughters, 7 sons. Where else? You show me the company. You show me the company, the situation where all the women would have the highest rank, along with the men, and that had together have 19 school-age children, ages 2 to 16, where you can actually work at that level. You're not going to find
that. Yeah, that's what I see that very clearly. That's very, very fair. Now, with Jared Kushner, though, it seemed to be a different thing. Is it that you felt he was ineffective overall, or he just took on too much?
Probably the latter more than anything, and then didn't ask people like me for help when we could. He excluded me. He tried to erase me. He diminished me, put me, you know, tried to keep me in the corner and this, that, and the other thing. And I know every woman listening to this has that story of some of the men who have done that to them. I just thought it was regrettable and unfortunate because the president, the president wanted us to work together, and he thought we were all a team. And that's the way it should have been. Jared and I had a great working relationship on the 2016 campaign, and not really again, but he admitted that. He would tell people I was a leaker, which, of course, I wasn't. Great chapter in my book called How to Spot a Leaker, Dom Giordano. It's a great read, and here's how to spot a leaker. And
yes.
Also, just, you know, I thought there was a little bit of a class issue there, too, I hate to say. We were just raised very differently, and there were days I did think that he looked down upon me.
I'm not neutral in this. I'm not a fan. I don't see what this guy is touted to have done. And is it true that he was the point person on fighting COVID?
Well, he said he was. He's coming out with his own memoir in August, and he talks about how the Operation Warp Speed, and he worked with FEMA, and he got the ventilators. You know, look, we had a president. His name was Donald Trump. We even had a vice president. We had a secretary of state. We had all that. I always looked at myself as a staffer. I'm a humble person, and I know the hierarchy. And even though I had great responsibility, a great relationship with the president and the commander in chief of the United States of America, I'm a staffer. And look, I think Jared's a very smart person whose heart was in the right place for this country. But if you have all that authority and not enough accountability, disaster can occur. And the one major objection I have is he does not have full accountability or any for the 2020 election. He was able just to, you know, he screwed up politics in the Midwest and just went right over and pretend and said, I'm going to get peace in the Mideast. He told everybody, the media always described him as the real campaign manager, as the de facto chief of staff, as the shadow secretary of state. I don't see the accountability. And, you know, President Trump gets upset with people when they don't say there's fraud, there's theft, the election was stolen. And I would love to know what Jared Kushner thinks about that. Maybe he wrote it in his book. Maybe he didn't. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, because, exactly. Now you've been honest about it, and you've said that President Trump lost here in Pennsylvania. Look, I defer to you. You're as shrewd as anybody in politics. There are discernible things that were done by the Secretary of State and others, real things, not made up Chinese hackers that we have to stop, and Republicans who gave us Act 77 with mail-in balloting. These are real things that hurt, and I think, through the state. But the conspiracy type of stuff, President Trump, is he still looking back, Kellyanne, or do you think he's getting it, that people tell him, look, you could be the person again easily in 2024?
So he is still upset about the 2020 election. And Pennsylvania, by the way, is the state I use as an example everywhere I go. I don't know why, as I put in my book, half the country is inconsolable about the election. The other half seems incurious. How in the world is the same mainstream media who knew right away Hunter Biden's laptop was disinformation, it was a Russian disinformation plan, it was an artifact of the Trump campaign, they knew right away. And 51 intelligence national security, quote, experts wrote that this is Russian disinformation. They knew right away there was Russia collusion. They looked for it for two and a half, three years, couldn't find it. But they have no curiosity whatsoever about everything you just said in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the state I use as the example.
Yep.
Kathy Buchvar, the Secretary of State, people at the polls, literally saying election officials, who, by the way, are not officially elected to anything, my friend, election officials, not officially elected, saying, well, you know what? We think people are confused by COVID. We'll just keep on accepting the ballots. We'll just keep the polls open a little longer. That's not for you to decide.
Exactly.
And I really think the United States Supreme Court should have taken up the Pennsylvania case, because there was a clear question of law whether or not you can change the voting law in, or how long you accept ballots, I think, in this case, as I recall, without going through the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's Constitution. The answer is clearly no, you can't, and clearly they did not. But they didn't take up the case. It was a 4-4 split before Amy Coney Barrett took the seat, and I think that's all regrettable. But, yes, the president is right. I write in my book, the crazy stuff going over here, get some affidavits. Over here, I think the Zuckbucks, you know, where Mark Zuckerberg in 2016 basically didn't put his thumb on the scale, let us run 5.9 million Facebook ads, as I write in my new book, Here's the Deal, 5.9 million Facebook ads. And then it turns around in 2020, because I guess he was blamed for Trump's win by other Silicon Valley types. He and his wife have two groups, and they spend $400 million.
Exactly.
And they do that.
A lot
they
of it right that, here in Ground Zero in Philadelphia. Yeah. I'm glad you...
Why isn't anybody, you know, we just can't, you have a media that's just incurious about that, and they should be looking at that. Your conclusion doesn't have to be stolen election theft fraud. Your conclusion can be, this is a really screwed up system. What's happening in Pennsylvania right now? We still don't have a winner in your Senate race.
Yeah.
And how in the world can we not do what Ohio, Florida, and Vermont does, which is you count the early ballots, you tally them up with day of, and you're done.
And you've been through the governor's side. Do you have a thought? But look, I made a deal with Doug. He has to win. I don't like the guy. I don't like any number of things about him. But if he doesn't win and Josh Shapiro is the new governor, Pennsylvania is very difficult for Trump or anybody else in 2024. What's your thought on Mastriano?
Well, he's a Republican nominee, so I support him, because Josh Shapiro will be, as governor, will be Josh Shapiro, the AG, to the nth degree, even worse. He has not hidden his radical views. He has not hidden his love of litigation. He has not hidden his ability to foist his own will on the people of the Commonwealth, even though more than half of them probably disagree with him on some fundamental issues. He's dangerous. He's got a huge war chest, and he fancies himself some star of stage and screen on MSNBC. And you see what happens with these runaway attorneys general.
Yes.
They are litigious. They want to regulate. They want the legislature to tax, to legislate. And I think Shapiro would be no better on an issue that's very important to me, which is school choice and charters. Wolf has been terrible on this issue, really standing in the way of tens of thousands of Pennsylvania school children, Dom, who just want their families just want a better life for them. And so I think it'd be terrible. You got to support the Republican nominee. And Doug Mastriano, he didn't ask me for advice, but the advice I would give is the same advice I give to every candidate, which is don't be a one-note Johnny. Broaden your portfolio. Talk to people about all the issues they care about.
Exactly,
If the 2020 elections is one of them, that's fine. But people are really hurting. They're hurting because Donald Trump is no longer the president and because Joe Biden is, because Tom Wolf is the governor and Josh Shapiro may be the governor. Mastriano just has to say inflation, immigration, border security. As governor, he's going to do this and that. I think he should really talk about education reform because it's an issue that Republicans are increasingly winning after everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Mastriano and the other Republicans didn't want screen time as school time, not for two school years. You know, and here, you know, why doesn't he say, hey, let's all follow the science, everybody. You can mask up a 7-year-old, but you can't look at a sonogram of a 7-month-old and follow the science. Tell me what you see. So there's a million things that he can do to beat Josh Shapiro. I'd be happy to, you know, I know you're going to help. Others should help. I hope that the RGA helps because I think that when you have a scary person like Josh Shapiro and an important thing like the Commonwealth, and I got to tell you, it helped to have the governorships of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania in 2016 when I was campaign manager. It wasn't like I called the governors there every day, but you weren't going to get stonewalled if you had a basic question about early voting or absentee voting.
Exactly,
all we needed to know. You want to get your basic questions answered and not stonewalled or ridiculed.
Kellyanne, tremendous book, and we're going to talk too. I saw you the first night with Sean, and it seems to me your family life is sort of reasonable now. We'll have a chance to talk about that's good. I can't imagine high power job and then conflict like that, particularly with your daughter. You make a number of points. The media, come on, it's a kid at the end of the day here. There's just got to be a zone of respect. And this coming Thursday, June 2nd, 7 p.m., we'll have a chance to welcome you back home fully. Here's the deal, a memoir. Until then, Kellyanne, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dom. All the best. Thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.